So we are beginning our sermon series in the book of Proverbs today, and I only have one hand, so you'll have to bear with me as I flip through pages and notes and things like that. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16. I'm excited for this sermon series for several reasons. Two reasons in particular. One reason is because of Proverbs 23, 15 and 16. And Proverbs 23, 15 and 16 says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right." Now, who is the ultimate author of Scripture? God, right? And so when you read this, I read this as, to me, as you should read it to you. And so one of the reasons that I'm excited about this sermon series on Proverbs is that, number one, more than anything, it tells me what makes God's heart glad and what makes God exult. And what makes God's heart glad, my son, listen, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. When we speak truth, when we speak what is right, God's heart rejoices and exults. And that should be that the center of the heartbeat of every single believer. Every single believer should wonder, I want to know what makes God happy. And I want to do what makes God's heart happy. And what we see here is that a heart of wisdom is what makes God's heart glad. And speaking what is right and true is what makes God's heart exult. That's why I'm excited about the sermon series on Proverbs. Because Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And it's all about how do we think and live in this world as His people in a way that makes Him glad and exult, and makes God Himself want to exult and be happy and glad. Number two, the other reason why I'm excited about this sermon series is more on a practical level, is because I have seen, as probably many of you have as well, firsthand how damaging bad choices can be in people's lives. You've seen the ruin and the despair and the discouragement and the heartbreak that our decisions can lead to in our lives and in the lives of other people. And wisdom prevents us, Lord willing, from making those types of decisions and to living a life that honors and glorifies God and is actually beneficial and a blessing to those around us. Proverbs is all about practical wisdom on how we can live our lives in a way to where we are not destroying and ruining one another, but building up and encouraging and giving life to one another, specifically through the person of Christ. And that's one of the things that we want to bring to through the sermon series on the book of Proverbs, is how the Proverbs ultimately point us to Christ and our need for Him. So in order to do these two things, though, in order to be able to make God's heart rejoice and be glad, in order for us to actually become any earthly good to people, we have to know what wisdom is and what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not an accumulation of information. Wisdom is not an accumulation of the right information. Wisdom is not knowing that Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Wisdom is not being able to memorize all the Proverbs as being sayings of wisdom. Though the correct information is needed to have proper wisdom, information in and of itself does not prove somebody to be wise. I think we can all attest to the fact that we probably know, a lot of us know really smart people who know a lot of stuff, but they are not wise biblically because they don't know Christ, or they are just foolish in many other areas of life and make poor choices. Wisdom is more than just information, though it does include the right information. Wisdom is not a well-kept secret by some guru that you has climbed the ladder of enlightenment and they have reached this peak and this pinnacle of knowing all things and being separate and set apart from the rest of mankind. Wisdom is not even held in the hand by a select few of Christian leaders who have the key to wisdom and have, you know, the corner on what wisdom is, and that we need to go seek that person if we really want to know what it means to be wise, because they are wise beyond all years. That's not what wisdom is. Wisdom in Scripture is, it's accessible. It's normative for the Christian life. Wisdom in Proverbs, you're going to see, is assumes that in reading Proverbs through the lens of being a believer, you're going to understand what it says and be able to rightly live. It should be normal for the Christian to seek wisdom and to want wisdom. Wisdom is at its core transformational. And when I say transformational, it's not just, again, the accumulation of information. It's seeing what Scripture says, and wisdom says, I need to change because what I see here is so much different than what I see right here. And if I want to do what Scripture calls me to do and be the person that God wants me to be because it makes Him happy and I know it'll be for my joy as well, then I need to change and I need to be transformed. And that transformation comes at a heart level. It comes at affecting the desires and the affections of the heart. It's what it is that you live for. It's what it is that you desire. It's what it is that you'd be willing to die for. Proverbs is all about affecting and transforming the human heart for ultimate things about God. It's not so much concerned about, God, should I re-landscape my backyard? As it is, God, what's the landscape of my heart right now? What do I want? What do I love? What do I pursue? Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? What do I think about throughout the day? What do I want if nobody were watching? What do I do? Where does my mind go? What do I seek after? Wisdom is about transforming the heart to that degree. That's what Proverbs is all about. Wisdom is about transforming people specifically who are in a covenant relationship with God. Proverbs was written in the time predominantly under Solomon and by him, in which the Mosaic Law, you know, the Ten Commandments, the law that God had given to Moses, was the rule of life. And it was at that point, up to that period of redemptive history, the ultimate expression of God's wisdom. God's law, his Ten Commandments, were the ultimate expression of His wisdom up to that point in time. And Proverbs, and what God's law was meant to do was to solidify the covenant people of God and who they were. And Proverbs is a book written to the covenant people of God. And that means for us, it's written to the Christian, for us today. Those of us who are in Christ, who are in a covenant relationship with God, Proverbs is written to us to transform our hearts. You look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. It's not just about doing the right thing because you know you should do the right thing. It's about doing the right thing because your heart rejoices in doing the right thing, because God's heart rejoices in doing the right thing. It's about transforming the heart on that level within the covenant people of God by faith. People who are in covenant relationship with God who walk by faith. And what I mean by that is that you do not know what it is that the Lord is going to do, but you know He is calling you to do something, and so you go and you follow and you walk in obedience like God called Abraham. And so He calls us to go, and we walk by faith. Wisdom says that God is good and He's trustworthy. And if He calls me to go, I don't have to know all the answers or have it all together. That I can trust the one who does, and I can proceed forward in trusting Him. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom incorporates all of life from the perspective that God is sovereign, and He's involved, and He's in charge, and He's in control. Wisdom is knowing that God has created all things and He's ordained whatever comes to pass and that he's good and he's trustworthy, and as his creation, we can rest and trust in that. Wisdom is about acknowledging our need to learn and be taught is not because that's a product of the fall, but because we are created beings. We were created. If the fall had never happened, you and I would still need God and to depend upon him and to trust in him and to seek him for wisdom and counsel. And so wisdom is about acknowledging that God created all things and that I am in need of his wisdom and his teaching and instruction and learning. And this is why Proverbs puts such a high value on instruction and learning and discernment, because we're created with the need to learn from him. We are not omniscient, but God is. And that our need for wisdom is not a product of the fall, but it's a product of being created by him. And so when you come to Proverbs and you see all kinds of things, in some ways Proverbs in many ways is observational. When it takes into account that God has created all things, you look at things like Proverbs 24, four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. They answer a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet is in king's palaces. Proverbs in many ways is observational in seeing that these things are the way that they are because God has designed them that way. And as Christians, we can approach the world from a perspective of wisdom, and that God has created it and he has ordained it and he has ordered it and he is sovereign over all of it. And we, as Christians, we bring wisdom into the realm of science and wisdom into the realm of biology and archaeology. And we are not, worldly wisdom says we are trying to recreate through our own means of understanding of what we see, how we think things are and how they come to pass. What wisdom says is that no, I can look upon the solar system and know that it's been created by a sovereign and wise God. And I can approach all of life. There's not a sphere of life in which I cannot approach with the wisdom that God is active and involved and a part of it. Wisdom watches the unfolding story of redemption and takes into account that God is in control from Genesis to Revelation and from all of mankind. God is working and he is moving and he is sweeping forward and he is redeeming what has been lost in the fall. Wisdom is understanding why do you do what you do and make the bad choices that you make, because you're a sinner by nature and you desire things that are opposite of what God desires. But that in Christ you have a new nature and you can now desire the things that he wants. Wisdom takes into account the Christian from the perspective of being involved in a place in redemptive history. And that in real space and time, God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, and died for our sin and paid our debt. That was an actual historical fact. And that took place. And wisdom of the believer takes that into account. Wisdom tells us that ultimately Christ is the wise man. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Paul tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. And so if Christ is the ultimate wise man, and all things were created through him and by him and for him and to him, that to become wise means to become Christ-like. And that's the real key of, and the importance of Proverbs and wisdom. It's growing into becoming like the person of Christ from the inside out and affecting the hearts and the desires that we have. Wisdom isn't just knowing God gets it all together in the end, but it's about how the gospel enables us to engage in the task of getting things together in our lives now. I know God's won, and I know the victory is his, but wisdom is all, and so he gets it all together in the end. I know it's all going to pan out in the end, that God's on the throne. But wisdom also says, I need to be involved in the task of getting my life together now as well. because it's important to me and it glorifies and honors God, which makes the gospel the key to wisdom. If the point of Proverbs and wisdom is to conform us into the image of Christ, where does transformation and confirmation, being conformed into His image, begin? With the gospel. Preaching of the gospel is a call, is wisdom's call to come to Christ and find forgiveness and find redemption and find purpose and begin the process of being conformed into the image of Christ. So Proverbs is about the Christian leading their heart to Christ-like transformation through wisdom. And we want to look at Proverbs chapter 1 this morning as a couple, and look through this to see how this works out. And because Proverbs chapter 1 really lays the foundation for the rest of the book of Proverbs. And what we see in Proverbs is that there's three things. There's 3 points. One, there's the classroom, what I call the classroom. There's the competitor. And then there's the Christ that we see in Proverbs chapter 1. So Proverbs chapter 1 verses 1 through 7 tell us this is the classroom. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we'll talk more about the fear of the Lord next week. But as you look at Proverbs chapter 1 verses 1 through 7, you see this classroom setting that Proverbs is all about coming. When you read that, you're hit square in the face with the fact that you are coming to a place where you are being instructed. You are going to sit down and you are going to receive instruction from the creator of the universe, the King of Kings. We're going to sit before him and learn from him. And he says that the book of Proverbs first is to know wisdom and instruction and to understand words of insight. This is all about sitting down and obtaining wisdom, being instructed by the Lord, which means that you have to come with an attitude of humility. If you come to the book of Proverbs saying, I already know what this book is about. I've got all of this together. Finances, godliness, yeah, okay, check, check, check. I know all these things. You are not in a position to be taught by God, and your pride will harden your heart. You will have a forehead of iron. The point of Proverbs is to come and to say, God, I need wisdom. I need you to instruct me. I want to be taught by you. And to express that type of humility that you are not all that we think we are at times. And that you need help and instruction. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. You are to receive instruction in these things because you don't know. We don't know right from wrong to begin with. We need to receive instruction on what it is and what is wise dealing. What is righteousness? What is justice? What is equity? What are these things that Scripture talks about? Because Scripture assumes that we don't rightly know what these things are, and we need to be taught them. So we sit down and we're taught. To give prudence to the simple basically means to give sound judgment to the naive. We've all met naive people before. Wisdom, Proverbs is a book to say you need to wake up from being so naive. This is a wake-up call. And you need to start to gather a heart of wisdom and understanding and so that you can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. It's to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. If you're a teenager, if you're a youngster, Proverbs is the book for you. This is a book where you can start to come and go, man, I've got, Lord willing, I've got a long road of life ahead of me, and I want that road to be as smooth and easy as possible as it goes on my end. God will ordain plenty of bumps and hardships in the road to come. I don't need to be adding to it. So Proverbs is a book for the youth to come and to say, I can come and I can learn of what it means to be a wise person. What are the decisions that I can make that would be honoring to the Lord and would actually be good and helpful for me? Who wants to make decisions that are going to find themselves in financial ruin down the road? Heartache, hardship, ruin, calamity. Right? No one's signing up for that. Wisdom is a book to teach us early on in life how to do what we can to avoid those types of things. And what is wise in its dealing, and how we can be wise in our dealing. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. You're never at a point where you say, I'm wise and I've got it all together. If you're wise, praise the Lord. It's what God has given to you. Guess what? Come to the classroom and learn how to continue to be more wise and grow. Because God is infinite in His wisdom. And you will never reach a point of which you are needing to stop growing. Let the wise hear and an increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. You may be a person of wisdom and understanding already. You need more. I need more. Why? Because what's the ultimate purpose of Proverbs? To conform us into the image of Christ. So when are you done being conformed into the image of Christ? When you go to be with Him. So that means until then, the process of being conformed into the image of Christ is gaining wisdom and being made like Him. And that is not going to stop. So we come and we continue to learn. And then He says, to understand a proverb and a saying in the words of the wise and their riddles. Not all of the proverbs are straightforward. Some of them take a little thinking. They appear to be in the form of a riddle. And so the wise person approaches these words of wisdom and says, okay, I may not just, this is not the drive-through proverb that I thought it was going to be. I've got to sit and I've got to park and I've got to think about it and I've got to chew on this for a while for me to understand what this is saying. The wise person camps and they park on passages of Scripture so that it affects them at the heart level and changes them. We see, and all this becomes even more clear when you read Proverbs 3:13 through 18, and you see what the value of wisdom is. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Scripture puts there is nothing more valuable in all of the world than wisdom. It says that she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can be compared with wisdom. Wisdom is the number one thing to be sought after because wisdom is found in Christ. And so in pursuing Christ, you are pursuing wisdom and you are pursuing the most valuable thing that there is to pursue. Now the question is, how much time do we spend in our lives pursuing wealth versus wisdom? Think about if. Okay, just think about this for a second. Let's all be honest real quick. If I was really convinced that wisdom had long life in her right hand and the left hand were riches and honor, wouldn't I be pursuing wisdom? If I was really convinced that there was nothing in this world that compares, I mean, this is, I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible as well. This is what Scripture says, that the gain from wisdom is better than silver and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire can compare with her. Why would I spend my time pursuing anything else if that is what is valued most by God? This is what God says. That this is how valuable wisdom is. So it makes sense when you go to Proverbs 1 and saying, okay, you need to sit down, you need to learn instruction, understanding, wisdom, because wisdom is the most valuable thing worth pursuing. And we really need to do an honest assessment of our lives and saying, God, am I really pursuing wisdom in that way? Am I searching after it? Am I seeking after it? Like I should be. So that I might be conformed into the person of Christ. The Christian knows that being in a covenant relationship with God through Christ is the most valuable possession of all. And so we continue to pursue growing in Christ. But there's a problem. There's a competitor. We come to the classroom, we see we're supposed to be taught, we need to receive instruction, we're given prudence, knowledge and discretion, wise, let the wise hear and increase in learning. And then you see the chunk of verses 8 through 19. Need for wisdom is not because of the fall, but the fall makes gaining wisdom incredibly difficult. Desiring it is hard, let alone pursuing it and grasping onto it and chewing it and being changed and affected by it. Why? Because there's a competitor. There is another counselor out there. And you see that in Proverbs chapter 1. Hear my son, it says, starts off, hear my son your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, I picture me sitting down with my kids and warning them and saying, listen, kids, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Right? When you know that you see your children are starting to run with the wrong crowd and you sit down with them, you are imploring them with all that you can. Please do not do this thing. I sit in the counseling room with people and I'm like, please do not do that anymore. You need to stop. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, and we will all have one purse. The enticement is that there is another counselor. There is a competing counsel out there that is after you, and it is self-serving all the time. And we have to be aware that competitive counsel that is contrary to God's word is out there. And it can in some ways come very subtly, and in other ways it can become very straightforward and direct. But either way, we need to know that there is competitive counsel out there, and we would be wise to be warned to stay away from that worldly counsel. You guys know I love the Pilgrim's Progress. And I would encourage you to read that book. But in Pilgrim's Progress, the character Christian meets worldly wise man who is from the town Carnal Policy. Right? Don't you wish you met people like that and you would just go, nope, not going with you, man. I know where you're from. And he sees the burden on Christian's back that he's bearing as he's making his way towards the celestial city. And he over and over entices him to lay it down and tempts him to come with him to the city of destruction. And if you read Pilgrim's Progress, I mean, worldly wise man is not an idiot. And the competitive counsel from the world is not, I mean, some of it, it's dumb, yeah, but some of it's not. And it's very attractive and it's very appealing. And there is another counselor that is out to eat your lunch. And it promises you good. It says, come, come with us. We're going to plunder and we're going to profit and life is going to be great and we're going to store up riches and it's going to be good. And it sounds so good and it's so appealing. When we were doing youth before, we used to say, look, Satan doesn't tempt you with broccoli. It doesn't work. He tempts you with things that he knows that you want and that you desire and they're appealing to you. And he promises, and the world promises that it's you will be happy and you will be satisfied and you will finally get what it is that you want and you desire. And 10 out of 10 times, it leaves you ruined and in despair and wondering, why in the world did I listen? I should have known better. The problem is because there's not just competitive counsel outside of us, but there's competitive counsel that resides within as well. We have a sinful nature that when it hears the calling and the promise of the good life from the competitor, it says, yeah, that sounds good. And as a believer, if you do not take time, take a minute. This is why Proverbs puts such a great emphasis on seeking counsel and wisdom from other people. If you do not take time to do that and to think about it and to run it through the grid of what God's wisdom is, you will get sucked in. Godly wisdom is all about doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. That's it. And what's right in the eyes of the Lord is communicated to us in His Word. And so when the competitive counsel comes, And there's this emotional response and the butterflies in the stomach and the jitters and the excitement. Man, you got to park it for a minute. And you've got to say, God, I really would like to do this. But I want to do what's right in your eyes alone. And I need to know what the Word says in order to know what that is. Temptation during hard times is bound to come for us. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. We cannot be naive. The Christian cannot be naive to know that there is an enemy outside and that there is temptation that rises from within as well. I love what Paul Tripp says in his book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. Christ has come to save you from you. You are your biggest problem in life. Do you believe that? If you don't, James chapter 4, verse 1. You can flip there if you like. I don't have it marked. And I only have one hand. James chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll read verse 2 as well. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Why are you fighting with somebody? Why are you in a disagreement with somebody? Is it not this, that the other person is at fault? No. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Your biggest problem in your life is you. And what Christ has come to do is to redeem you from the penalty of your sin, the power of your sin, and ultimately the presence of sin. Wisdom takes into account that I am in conflict and strife with somebody else, and I am contributing to that problem. And the only thing that I can do is take responsibility for what I am doing that's wrong and sinful, confess and repent, and turn away from it. And live a life that's going to be honoring to the Lord. Because I know that I have a sinful heart and a sinful desire. And that brings us to the last point, is that the good news is that there's a Christ. There's a classroom that calls us to learn. We see that there is a competitor. There is another counselor out there. But the good news for the believer is that there is a Christ. Wisdom's call in Proverbs chapter 1 is the call of Christ, calling the foolish and calling the sinner and calling those who are tempted to listen to the competitor to come to him. Listen to what Proverbs says in chapter 1, starting in verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. Right? There has already been this call to come and learn and be instructed. And then there's the warning that there is another counselor out there that is competing for the affections and the desires of your heart. But then the good news is that wisdom cries aloud in the street. And the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. And this is what she says. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Heeding the call of wisdom, and if Christ is wisdom, then wisdom's call is the call of Christ. So when wisdom calls, it is Christ calling. And Christ stands at the head of the street and says, how long will you foolish ones continue to be foolish? How long will you sinners continue to sin and scoffers continue to scoff? Would you come to me? And if you come to me, I will pour my spirit. The reception of the spirit is the gift of heeding the call of wisdom. And for the believer, the reception of the spirit is about being transformed into the image of Christ, about being born again. It's about starting the process of sanctification. This is a call to come to Christ and beginning the walk to growing to be like Christ. And it's wisdom's call to us. And she stands at the head of the street of all of mankind in eternity and stands at the end of that road and calls and says, anybody who would come and heed the words of wisdom, you can come. We won't read it, but Proverbs chapter 9 is a great, you can read it this week, I'd encourage you to. It's a great contrast between wisdom's calling and folly's calling. And you can see how similar they are in their call to you, yet the promise and the result is obviously very different. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, that God saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The reception of the Spirit of God is a washing and a regeneration, being saved and coming to Christ. That's wisdom's call. Proverbs is about practical living, yes. But more than that, Proverbs is about a call to come to Christ first. We're going to talk about, there are 15 major themes that we've chosen in the book of Proverbs to cover. And if we get to any of those, you take it outside of the context of this is designed to make me more like Christ, you'll become a moralist or a legalist. When we get to talking about speech, if you're, okay, I see what God says about speech, I'm going to clean up my mouth, and I'm going to start to try and say nice things to people now, and instead of cutting them down and chopping them down. Look, if you try and do that outside of, because it's conforming you into the image of Christ, and that's what you really desire, it's temporary. How many times have you tried to cut something out of your life that is not honoring to the Lord and find that it only comes back? Why? Perhaps because it wasn't being done with the heart desire to be conformed into the image of Christ. And this is honoring and glorifying to God, and it's good to me. There's a warning of wisdom as well. If you look at starting verse 24. And this is important to take note of. Because I have called you and you refuse to listen. Have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all of my counsel. Would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. There's a real, in a narrow sense, the warning is that you're going to reap what you sow. And apart from God's mercy, which He interjects and does at times, you make a bad choice, you will reap bad fruit. It's just that simple. But in a larger scope, there is going to come a day when wisdom's call ceases to go out. If wisdom's call is the call of Christ, the voice of Christ now is come. Come to me and find life everlasting. There will come a day when the voice of wisdom stops and the call of Christ ceases. And it's when Christ returns and it is done and all things are made right. An eternal judgment is cast immediately. And those who are going to be with Him will be with Him for eternity. Those who have heard the call of wisdom, have heeded the call of wisdom, and listened and loved wisdom, and Christ will go to be with Him in joyous, eternal pleasures are at your right hand forevermore. Psalm 16:11. There is joy upon joy in being with Him for all of eternity. For those who have heeded the call of wisdom and gone to Christ. And for those who haven't, awaits an eternity of separation and torment and punishment in hell. Those who have heard the call and responded with a deaf ear, who have shaken their fist, who have mocked at the gospel, who have laughed at that truth, will see what awaits them, and they will call out at that point, and it will be too late. And that is a very sobering idea and thought. Wisdom for the believer takes that reality into account today. And it impacts the way that we live our lives now. I want to close with the idea, or just with, again, being reminded that as we work through Proverbs and these major themes in the book, we're going to keep in mind that all of them are written for the purpose of revealing what God wants in us and from us, but how it's done. Because we're being conformed into Christ, and we need the Spirit of God to help us in this way. We need to confess that we are foolish most of the time in our understanding, and that we need the wisdom of God, and that the greatest thing that we can treasure and value is the person of Christ, and that wisdom is about transforming the inner man, having it affect our desires and our thoughts and our emotions in a way that we might become Christ-like in a genuine way. So as we come to the table, this communion table is a time where we can remember that Christ is the ultimate wise man. That to become wise is to become like Christ. And wisdom from the heart, that's what is valued and desired. It's also a place for us because we see that the call of wisdom is the call to come to Christ. We see how incredibly short we fall. And so the communion table is also a time for us to confess in the ways that we don't and seek the Lord and pray and ask for His help and His Spirit in changing us and guiding us. So I will pray and then we'll partake of communion together. Father, we thank You for Your Word in its entirety. We thank You for the book of Proverbs. And as we work through this book, Lord, and we see it's calling us to Christ, we pray that we would heed the call and come to You and find goodness and find hope and life everlasting. We confess, Lord, that there are just so many times in our lives where because of worldly thinking due to we're not exposing ourselves to Your Word often enough. We become convinced of worldly wisdom, or because of just ways of, we don't even know in the worldly ways that which we think that are contrary to Your Word, Lord, because they're ingrained in us, and we've just always been that way and thought that way. So we pray, God, that You would bring a renewed way of thinking and refreshment from Your Spirit in the way that we might live and approach living life for the gospel and for Your glory and for our good, Lord. And this table is a time for us to do that. We don't have it all together right now. No, Lord, we confess that and we know that. We know that You are sovereign and You are gathering. Your plan of redemption is moving forward, and there will come a great day when You return, Lord. But in the meantime, we need a lot of help. Please help us. For Your glory, for our good and our joy, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.